Our final scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 34 through 46. If I say something about goats and sheep in my sermon, if you read 31 through 33, you'll understand why I said that. But Matthew 25, 34 through 46. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did to one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then you will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." And they will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of these least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. I have a question. What is church? If I wasn't quite so new, I would beg for answers, but I'm going to let you get away with it today. What is church? What is the body of Christ? What does it mean to be the church or to be the body of Christ? Got this in my mailbox the other day. If you got one of these, I'm not trying to disparage this church. So if you know which church it is, try not to be mean. But I got this, and it just, typically this would have moved from my mailbox to the recycling bin, but just something about this made me keep it. And mission committee, you're going to see this again. "Come and see the kid," and he's cute. He's giving you a thumbs up. "Come and see, church. Then try us this Sunday." And I think that's the part that got me, because it's just like, I'm going to be a little bit busy this Sunday. But 9 a.m., 10:15 a.m., 11:30 a.m. And then on the back, there's a reason why more and more families choose this church. Top-notch middle school and high school groups. I'm going to skip that one. "Friendly people and normal clothes and plenty of free, fresh coffee. Rockin' music your whole family will rave about, unless you've got a kid really sold on bagpipes and disco," which I don't know why they needed to be disparaging to bagpipes and disco, but "learning experiences designed to help your kids develop their love for God and others, but they make sure to promise that they can't make your kids like each other. You're invited. Try this church. You'll be glad you did. A nice map, the link to the Facebook page and the website. And then the one that just got me, and probably the reason I kept it. Smart, insightful, biblical teaching you can actually apply to your own life. Which for me told me that I do not give you smart, insightful, biblical teaching you can actually apply to your own life. I hope that's not the case, but again, and I know nothing about this church other than this flyer that it's beautiful. I mean, it's professionally done. It's everything, like, there's no major design faux pas. It makes me want to go there. But is this church? And again, I'm not disparaging. I don't know. Maybe their preacher is amazing. We should all go to their church and give up this church. But is that church? When I read this, I read nothing about helping. I read nothing about outreach. I read nothing about the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the poor, the sick, the stranger. They say, stranger maybe a little bit, but the whole thing just feels like very inwardly focused. This is what this church can give to you. They can give you entertainment. They can give you exciting preaching, relevant preaching, which I don't know what's relevant preaching, but they can give your kids something to do, the proper environment. They can give you all of this. You can even get fresh, free coffee, which you can get that here too, but they can give you everything. But what I don't see here is any sort of outward focus. What is the outward ministry of this church? I don't know. It's a flyer. It's an advertisement. I get they can't tell us everything. The website does have more stuff. I did Facebook stalk them. I mean, I'm not trying to disparage. But is advertisement church? I found myself contrasting that with a friend I had in seminary. And for all of you that read the manuscripts, you heard about him a couple of weeks ago. His name is Paul. He was from the Sudan. He came to the United States in the 90s. My first year of seminary, he went back to Sudan, the first time he'd been back to Africa since he came to the United States. When he returned, he sat on my couch. I won't sit here long. I know I'm short, but it just kind of gives the visual. He sat on my couch, and the coffee table was there, and I just randomly had a pill of headache medicine. And he grabs it, and he looks at it, and he shows it to me. We're just sitting on the couch, and he's like, "This could save lives." That conversation still haunts me a little bit. Because he said, there are children who are dying because they can't get access to the stuff that you just have sitting on your coffee table. People are killing to control the flow of this. And it's just sitting on your coffee table. Paul and I have very, very different theologies. He, very conservative African theology. Me, I'm fairly fence-sitter. But we agreed on one thing. You have to do. You have to do. And so he did. He started an organization. I looked last night. He has started a ministry teaching course. He was teaching preaching on Friday, pastoral care on Tuesday. He has saved lives. He has brought medicines that have been donated to Africa and saved lives. He was involved in making two warring tribes actually come to the table and discuss with one another. He has rebuilt his village. provided water. He has done things. Now, clearly, I am not in Africa. I'm not standing up here and preaching that you need to go to Africa to solve these things. But there is a difference between advertising worship and being the body of Christ and doing. When Jesus is telling the people gathered who's getting in and who's not, he wasn't talking about how many butts were in the pews. He wasn't talking about if you had the piano or the organ or an electric guitar or bagpipes or disco or whatever. He said, basically, feed the hungry, give water to the thirsty, clothe the naked, welcome strangers in your door. Do. Actually do what needs to be done. Because there are hungry and thirsty in this neighborhood. This church is off of the beaten path. You wouldn't think that people would just show up at this church's door, but they do. There are hungry and thirsty here. And this church is a giving church, absolutely. I carried some of that candy for the Halloween at Grace. Such a small thing, but it was there. It was heavy. I looked out this morning, and the Thanksgiving tote is filling. The Wellspring cart is almost full again. This church gives. But I've also heard in whispers and conversations and asides that maybe we need to do more. Maybe we need to do something. I've heard that some of the outreach and mission has kind of fallen aside. And I've seen where money is going. And I've seen the budget. And after my eyes glazed over, because I can't look at a budget and understand it without thinking really hard, I can see where some things have had to go. This is Stewardship Sunday, which is my weakest Sunday of the year because I hate talking about money. I grew up, we weren't hungry, but we were close. I heard something recently that said, if you didn't know you were poor, you weren't poor. We knew we were poor. And I grew up in an area of the world where you just don't talk about money. It's just not a thing you talk about. But to do requires resources. My friend Paul's organization requires resources. His livelihood is dependent on the generosity of others donating to this organization. His ability to go to Africa and teach and save lives requires on people giving. The mission of this church, be that supporting the other missions in town, be that doing its own work, be that the mission of this church requires giving. So I charge you today, first as stewardship, take a hard look at the resources that God has made you a steward of and contemplate what you can give back to God and how you can help this church do its mission. That is call one. But call two is similar. To everyone who has said to me in the past six weeks-ish, close enough, that they want to see more done, I charge you to start doing. I charge you to look at the needs that you see and do. May we be the church here. May we be the body of Christ. Not entertainment, I'm not that entertaining. I'm a little entertaining, but not that entertaining. But may we be church. Open arms, giving, feeding, giving water, clothing, welcoming in the stranger. Let us do with our giving and our time. Let us be the body of Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.